Well, Tawari, some of you may have read in the book, the little book we gave you from Michael Fitzgerald. Did any of you hear about Tawari or recall him, who he is?
Yeah.
He, living in Kempur. Well, he had shown up a few days previous with a contingency of one other fellow and three women, and they all just kind of like randomly showed up, you know, because we couldn't go to Kempur, so they decided to come to us. And this was like a huge big deal, and we were particularly touched by this. Like, I was up on the roof, and Beatrice comes up, and she's like, this is supposed to be a day off. She's like, we're going to do a fellowship at 11. Tawari's here. I'm like, oh, cool. All right. So anyway, I think, well, I got a few minutes to exercise. And then I go down there, and, like, they're all seated in the living room or the dining room of our level. And I'm like, oh, namaste, namaste. And I go in really quick and, you know, change my shirt real fast and come back out to the fellowship. And they're all doing, you know, I'd like to thank God. And, you know, they're each giving their testimonies. And they were all just like, it's like we were so sad. We were so unhappy that you weren't coming to Kempur. And we all just, we knew we had to come and meet the American believers. And we're all just sitting there kind of going, us? You know, we want to meet the great Tawari. I mean, this guy's got thousands of people, and, you know, he's got like amazing outreach and incredible things, the healings and awesome stuff going on where he lives in Kempur. Just this incredibly meek and humble and fun and funny and lighthearted, playful guy. You'll see his picture. He really took to Vanessa and Justin. He's just really all about the youth. So anyway, this was several days previous. He came and he brought his friend Gupta. And, you know, they all just share, and I thank God, and they tell how they got in the Word. And so Tawari tells how he got in the Word, how he had prayed for 4 years, and he started going to some Christian groups. He was looking for that one true God, the one God he wanted. And he said, but, oh, the Christians just argue, you know, and he thought, okay, well, I'll go to one more thing that they're having. And so he had seen a vision in the wilderness where he'd gone out with God, and he'd seen a flash of light, and he heard God speak audibly to him and say to him, your guru is coming. And so he goes, and he's at this meeting, and Bhupinder, who was here, had been praying for 4 years for someone in the city of Kempur, and he told God, if I don't find somebody there, I'm not going back. So he'd been praying for laborers in Kempur. So here's 4 years praying on this side, here's 4 years praying on that side, and these two convene in this Christian debate situation, where not the two of them, but the Christians are there arguing, because they had wanted Bhupinder to share, come and share and talk to them. Well, it ended up they did all the talking, and they were not, Bhupinder wasn't allowed to say anything, and so Tawari's hearing all this, and he's like, took him aside after, he's like, oh, this is not right, you come to my house for dinner and let's talk. So he shares the one true God with him, Bhupinder, because he saw that Tawari was very hungry. So then sometime after that, soon Tawari sees another flash of light, and he hears from God that, you know, your guru has come, and he's the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will hear about him through the new man you just met, Bhupinder. Mm-hmm. And he heard this audibly. And so, consequently, ultimately, Tawari has won thousands of people, and they have just come to him through this manner. He prays for laborers. He didn't go out beating the streets for these people. But Bhupinder spent a year and a half driving, going 300 miles to Kempur to have a class of one, teaching Tawari the Word of God. Just teaching him everything he knew. So what Tawari shared with us was, and I'm going to try to remember all the stuff, his encouragement was, this is how we've moved God's word in Kempur, where there are thousands. I mean, he knocked out walls. He had a fairly big house, and, you know, high caste Hindu was somewhat affluent in their culture. He knocked out walls so he could have 300 people in his home. And then ultimately had to just rent tents because there's so many people. And then he finally realized that, you know, they need to be in you know, these smaller groups and so forth. But he said, you get with the leaders, you learn from them. And you pray for laborers. And do you remember anything else he said to do? Take a class when you're ready for the point. You get the class that you can learn everything.
Yeah, you know, one of the ways that they approach their outreach is, again, what attracts people is the power of God. They're not reluctant to tell people God can heal you. You know, God's given me the power to heal you. And if you believe the one true God, he'll supply your need. They're not reluctant to do that. And then later, if they desire, they get their blessing. And if they desire to grow and to learn more, then they invite them to participate in some of the classes that they have. But they don't do a lot of classes. Let me tell you that right now. They don't. The only class is ask God. You ask God yourself with confidence and God will provide. And then, you know, if you want to learn, if you want to be a leader, then we'll teach you, you know, more precisely the truth.
Yeah. And they're all about the true doctrine, the sound doctrine. Like all of the leaders that I spoke with or got to know or had occasion to be around, they're all about, it has to be sound doctrine. They tolerate nothing wrongly divided, no idolatry whatsoever, no guff from anybody, no excuses. Like this.
And part of the reason that they can do this and have it be successful is because, like Patty said, they get them born again. And when they get born again, they just lead them into speaking in tongues.
Immediately.
They explain it to them. You can speak in tongues. That's where you know you have the Spirit of God within. You've been born again. They speak in tongues. They have no problem with this. They have no problem whatsoever. They just do it. Then they get to fellowship and they hear interpretation. They hear prophecy. Huh. Can I do that? Yeah, you sure can. Just go right ahead. And they do it. And it's wonderful because it's the Spirit of God that gives the utterance. And when it's presented that way, that's sound doctrine. And when it's believed, it happens.
You know? Like one thing in the Word here that I saw that was really big, and I shared it at one of the fellowships that I saw, was that like when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her she's going to have, you know, the baby Jesus, like, you know, the Savior of the world. And he said that to her towards the end about Elizabeth, your cousin, is pregnant also 6 months. And, you know, she was past her age and everything. And then he said, the angel to her, for no word of God is void of power. With God, nothing is impossible. And literally the word, no rhema, no spoken, narrated, declared out in the senses realm, word from God is void of power. Nothing spoken is void of power. At the knees of Jesus Christ, you know, everyone shall bow at the name of Jesus Christ. So there's so much power in the spoken word. You got to speak it to yourself too, like Greg said earlier. You got to speak to myself the word. But then her response back is what I'm getting at. Be it unto me according to thy word. You know, okay, I'm going to have Jesus Christ. Be it unto me according to thy word. You know, and that is the attitude and the response that these people have. Not, oh gosh, I wish, you know, she'd shut up and it's time for lunch. Or, gee, I got to be somewhere. Oh, there's so much to do. I'm telling you, this is like these people, they manifest great miracles and great healings and see great growth and outreach because they have no other God before the true God. Because their response is, be it unto me according to thy word. And I mean, Greg said to me, you're going to see manners and customs of the Bible. You're going to see light through an eastern window when you go over there. I told him I read all these books before I went, and it's like we did. We saw it from the culture to the mindset, to the heart of these Christian believers, many of which stand up and speak the word like elegant speakers and don't even know how to read. And their whole heart, like the last leaders meeting we went to, was just the room like this, crammed about twice as full, maybe a little smaller. I called it the blue room, and you'll see it several times.
It wasn't anything close to this.
The blue room is like the size of this room here, but it has the overflow of the
courtyard. From the couch this way. Yeah.
And saying it throws out to the people, he's like, you know, how to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and that God would be their rewarder if they put God first. There were people, leaders meeting, they'd been in the Word 2 weeks. He says, how many of you want to work full-time for God? Every person in the room raised their hand. And so later, you know, when we were at Bhupinder and Ashish, the very last thing we did before we left on the plane to come home, you know, they're whining and dining us. Here's Bhupinder, this great man who has virtually opened up half of India fully. You know, the whole city of Kanpur because he prayed for a labor. The whole mountain region because he prayed for a labor. We haven't even gotten to Galab Singh and what goes on in the mountain area. That's where Tom is right now. Bhupinder prayed for laborers. God brought them to him. He didn't go beating the bushes to find them. And here's this wonderful, incredible man standing in a kitchen, cooking for all of us this seven-course meal. And this kitchen isn't any bigger than, you know, my closet up there where my clothes are. They have no modern devices. There are, I think, what, 8, 9 people that live in a very small three-room house. And I didn't say bedroom. Chia, the sister who designed my outfit, too, by the way, Vanessa's, they hand-sew these things. They sew all these. Chia brought out her portfolio of all her fashion design. Chia lives there. Bhupinder, his wife. Ashish, his wife. Baby, mother-in-law. In a three-room house, is truly not as large as the half of this house. The Indian bathrooms. Here, I'll read you this. Right, this is on the way to Jaipur, but it's the same kind of thing. We arrive one pit stop along the way. I think because of me, 4-hour drive, because I had to go to the bathroom so bad. These people sit for hours without a hitch. So I suppose now's as good a time as any to describe the infamous Indian bathroom, of which I have already braved several times by the end of the trip. This is basically a hole in the ground. There's no toilet paper. Just ready, aim, fire. And I just love India with one of those little happy faces. So now, you know, they don't have toilet paper. Okay, I bring my wet wipes in there. Okay. So anyway, that's where Bhupinder lives. Now, Beatrice and Sangeet, they have Western toilets. And they also have Indian toilets. They are considered wealthy there. They live very modestly. And they rent their apartments. But Bhupinder and Ashish, I tell you what, those guys are givers to the max, and they just couldn't shower us with enough gifts. I mean, Chia, she made this, and Bina, and they're giving us all this food, and Tiwari, and so some of the pictures you see will be just us rejoicing with them, because like the main leadership, except for Galab Singh, you know, we all crammed in this little bitty three-room house, and this living room is like half the size of this one. Wow. Their living room, and that's where Chia sleeps in there. And then there's a bedroom, it's very small, just the size of a bed. And then beyond that's the little kitchen, the little bathroom, and beyond that's one more itsy-bitsy bedroom, and that's where Ashish and his wife. So it was very humbling to see how they, by our standards, don't have so much, but they, in their minds, have everything. They are so thankful to God, and God showers them with so much, and they see this outreach, they see this healing, this deliverance. I have one more testimony, just one more. Bita is laughing because that's what Sambi does. Bita and I went to Orlando last year, and we saw Sambi give testimonies and speak like, you know, this golden-tongued orator at age 5 at that point. So anyway, I had mentioned previously that I wanted to see a really great healing and be a part of one. So it was Thursday, October 4th, I have it written here, and we were on our way to the Blue Room, which we'd 3 times we did fellowship there, and this is where Stephen lives. And we did 2 leaders meetings there, and we did 1 open fellowship there. So this particular day, the kids had stayed back. They always came with us otherwise. We did everything together, but they stayed back and did their own thing. So we go to the fellowship, and we get in there, and this is a leaders meeting, the first one. And Sangeet is you know, presiding, and he says, okay, so in about a half an hour, Mr. Donnie will go and heal John Paul's brother's wife. And the rest of us, whoever wants to go, the rest of us will stay, and we will, oh, several hours later, eat supper together when you come back. So, anyway, so this fellowship goes on for several hours. It's way beyond the half hour point. We're still sitting in there, and I'm thinking, do I go? Do I not go? Do I go? You know, at first I'm thinking, I want to go just because it's so hot in here, and I want to, it's like if anybody says anything else, I think I'm going to surely pass out from, you know, lack of food, water, and air. But just about that time, they come out with chai tea, which they always do, and Coca-Cola, which is very, very cool because our friend Kevin, he liked having Coke and Pepsi. So now every fellowship, after they learned that, they always had Coke for us or Pepsi. And they just, you know, cookies. So anyway, it's like, oh, saved by the chai. So then soon after, Sangit says, all right, Donnie, you will go now. So Ashish, I got to read here. Who?
Kevin.
Dharampal. All right.
It was Dharam Paul's sister-in-law that was sick.
Okay, so
Dharam Paul came with us, of course. And Ashish to translate, and Kevin,
one of the other guys, Kevin Cunningham, and myself and Patty.
All right, and Sanjay, who is Sangit's paid driver, and Sanjay is like Mr. Aggressive driver. We're talking, get you there, like, in a flash. Okay, so, all right, it was 7 miles away, and we weren't totally sure where we were going or what we were doing. But we had been told that this lady had arthritis. So I'm thinking, oh, it'd be good if I go, because I've had that. Well, we get there. Not quite.
Not
quite. We get in there, and I'm not even going to. I'll just tell you. I won't read.
You don't need to read it.
Well, I wrote it really good. But anyway, saves me from rambling. But we go in, we sit for a brief moment in the living room, and then we explain the situation, and then and Ashish is with us. We're taken back into her bedroom. And then here was this beautiful young woman. And I thought maybe she's going to be older, but she was very young, and she was just frozen stiff, and her hands were like this, right up here, and she's laying flat on her back on the bed. Her toes were like this, twisted, and a tiny little woman. We pile in there. Of course, it's mostly just bed in the bedroom.
And the situation was that she had not been able to get out of bed for the pain, and she couldn't move because she was all bound up with this arthritis.
That's a withered hand.
She was like this. And it was all she could do to move her head, to talk, you know, when we came in.
She just looked so
And
so
she'd been that way
sad.
For 3 weeks. She hadn't been able to move out of bed. So
can I have a sip of that? Is that yours? And so, you know, not at all what I expected. And it was just like, okay, you know, this is cool. So Donnie immediately started to minister to her. And I'm sitting at her feet. Kevin's in the middle, Donnie's at the head, and you'll see it in the picture. And so immediately he ministered to the pain, and then he ministered to that thing which was binding her and holding her.
Mm-hmm.
And she just released.
Wow.
And, you know, it was a devil spirit that had. First the pain had to go so she could just be comfortable to believe, and then the devil spirit had to go. And so then I started to minister to her. I could see her toes start to move, which had been, I mean, like frozen stiff. Her toes started to move, and I just, you know, whatever I said to her, I don't totally remember, but just, honey, it's okay. You can do this. God loves you. God has made you whole. Now thank God in the name of Jesus Christ that you're whole.
And I began to encourage her.
And I said, now, you know, move your toes, move your hands. And so then at that point she sits up.
Yeah, she said, I've got to sit up, because she started to move and she could move her arms
move.
Again. And it ministered to her joints, that her joints would loosen and she could begin to move again. And she just started moving and she goes, I have to sit up. I got to sit up. And she could understand English if we spoke slowly. But you know, she still was speaking in Hindi, so Ashish was translating. And you know, she said something, and she goes, and Ashish goes, she's got to get up. She wants to get up.
Well, then at that point, she wanted to, she's like, I want to walk.
She sat up first. She sat up. She just swung her legs over and sat on the edge of the bed. And then just, you know, I said, well, okay, move your hands. And she began to do this. And then she just goes, I need to walk. And Patty and I both were, you know, and Kevin is standing there and he's like, yes, you do, you know. And she, it's like we were ready to help her, but she didn't need the help.
Well, it's like I
because of her great faith. I mean, she was just totally confident in her deliverance. She had received her deliverance.
It'd be like this if Diane was Donnie and if I'm me and she's her. Him, so like you grab with that hand that one,
and then I
went like this, and then both of us look at each other. It's like, no, she needs to get up on her own. We're not going to help her up.
So you know,
we just kind of,
well,
you
reached
did.
For
you,
her.
You
I just, no, I held my, no, I held my hand out to her, but I didn't touch her.
But she
I
got
was,
up.
I had
on
my,
her own.
I had her hand when I was ministering to her.
Yeah.
And that's when she began to move.
Maybe I had both her hands, and you were.
You
just
had
like,
her feet.
Well, first I had her feet.
We had her on both ends. She wasn't going to get out of there without being delivered, man.
You're not remembering for joy of how great this was going.
Oh,
she sat there. She's sitting with. She's sitting up, and we were tempted to like help her up, but we didn't. We just kind of let her get up on her own.
And
so
she did.
Got up on her own, and she just took off walking. She just like. Just scooting across the room, out in the other room. She come back. She's just got this tenacity, this woman. She's just like, I'm whole.
Okay.
And so a few pictures, and we're messing and playing with the two little girls. She's got her two little girls in there. One is Unchu, and the other one is Anushka, who understands English. And she had this little shirt on that said Flower Babe. And I remembered her from one of the fellowships. And they're just all happy. It's like... And they told me what Mamta, her name is Mamta, and Mamta means mother's love. And so I said...
But then before we actually took the picture, she came back in, she sat down, she said, I feel great, I have no more pain. I have no more pain, and she could move again. And then she's moving around, and Ashish goes, well, she said she hasn't been able to eat for 5 days.
No.
She hadn't eaten for 5 days either. She just kept throwing it up. She couldn't hold any food down. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, well, we need to minister to her then about for that. And we ministered to her for that. And, okay, you know, how you feel? You feel better? You know, oh, yes. She feels good. She says she feels good. So, well, is she hungry? Oh, I think so. So I said, well, you better make her something to eat because she's going to be hungry.
Well, then Ashish said, he looked at her and he said, now, Mamta, you just need to make one piece of bread be 10 meals worth of 10 pieces of bread for your strength. She
says,
So then the next thing we know, we're out of there. It's just like we hadn't even been there 15 minutes. We go in the living room, and that's something that's really cool about these people. It's just like in, out, you're done. So that's kind of like... what he was sharing, okay, next. But then we went in the living room, and John Paul says, I felt kind of bad because I couldn't do it. I wasn't the one that healed her. I know I could have healed her. And so Ashish ministers to him and says, you know, talks to him and says, remember how Jesus Christ said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, in his own home, and he could not do many mighty works there? And John Paul's like, oh, yeah, okay. Fine, cool. Just total acceptance. And then in my brain, all these failures flashed through my brain of the people I minister to that, you know, several are dead, one that was dead that we tried to raise, and how it didn't work. And how this man is instantly reprieved from any guilt or issues that he couldn't do it. Well, it's just, you know, her expectation was for the Americans. It's not that you couldn't do it. And he just so readily accepted that. It's okay. It's fine. Yeah, I'm good with that. And so then after that, the brother wants to get ministered to. And we find out he's fallen off a motorcycle and had brain hemorrhage and a couple other things. So Donnie ministered to him, and then he's good, and we left. And this was so, like, just happened just so fast. We went back to the fellowship, and we're kind of like, what just happened? And we're in the car with Ashish, and Ashish is just sharing all this stuff with us. You know? It's like so many times we felt so bad when we couldn't do it. You know, remember Jesus Christ said, well, they came to him, and they want to know, why couldn't we do it? Well, it's unbelief. Somebody's, yours or theirs. You know, like Romans 1 says, the mutual believing of both them and us. I can't do anything for you if you don't believe. How many times I beat myself up over this when it didn't work? And you too. And how many times have you tried to believe and it didn't work? When it, don't put flesh in the equation, like Sangit said. Flesh is, it's not about your flesh. And we heard this so many times, but we saw the expectation of the people. We ministered to many people, ministered healing. We saw many great things. I saw a brand new believer hack up asthma spirit, and she just took a, she's doing one of these, and then all of a sudden she, and her eyes clear and she can breathe, and it was just like, oh my gosh. And then there was this other one I ministered to, and I had Usha, who's a young college girl, very fluent at speaking and translating. She was with me translating with this, and with the first one, the asthma lady, and then the second one was this woman who, she's, okay, what's the matter? You know, doing like Sangit taught us, that. What do you need? Okay, do you believe God can heal you? So we start handling the stuff, but she just keeps coming up with stuff. And I'm looking at Usha, and I'm looking at Tori, who's like over my shoulder now, who's 16 years old. And I'm going, Tori, there's something I'm not getting here. And she's like, make her look you in the eye. And so I'm like, all right. So I'm like, in the meantime, I feel Donnie over this shoulder, and I feel Vanessa's over here ministering, and I'm starting to get distracted because this woman's kind of like, there's just something I'm not nailing it there. So Tori's helping me, Usha's helping me, and meantime I'm going like this to this lady, and I say, look me in the eye, and she can't look me in the eye. So okay, duh. So I'm like, okay, then God shows me, infirmity spirit, get out, you cannot be here, leave in the name of Jesus Christ. And then her eyes start to clear. You know, and then Usha's just like, she's like this tough little cookie. I'll show you Usha. She goes, all right, stop touching her. She needs to look to God now on her own. I will tell her, she needs to believe God. She needs to go on. She's been here too long. Yeah, it's like, get her done with, next person. I'm like, okay, thanks, guys. I mean, these guys are, I got a 16-year-old girl who's bold as a lion here teaching me, who just, I just fell in love with this girl. She's so fun, so wonderful. And then I got Usha, who's translating, who's like, she's just kind of like takes over and says, okay, you're done, go on.
She's 22. I think she's your age.
She's 22. And so we saw so many, many wonderful healings, like, so they were all, each one was different, but each one had the same ingredient, and that was that, you know, when the faith and the expectation was there, the people got healed. And a lot of people had, maybe they were just there for the first day ever. They'd never been to anything before. Or maybe they'd been around for 20 years, and they still didn't have it figured out, and there were a few of those we met, you know. Mostly new people, though. I only met, actually, like a couple that had been around for that many years. Mostly they were, like, within the last, you know.
Yeah, I ministered.
Four or five.
I ministered to one man who had been to fellowship before and stopped going, and then he came. Hmm. He came back that particular fellowship, and because he needed to be ministered to. You know, he was infirm, weak, had no strength. He came back because he knew where he could get his needs met. You know, it's the same thing. People are people, but the core issues were brought to the surface. Once again, and it's the same here as it is there. No difference. Same God, same principles. It's just whether or not we are willing to get rid of our idols and go back to the one true God, or we're going to keep our idols in place. There's a very evident, there's a very plain. In our culture, the adversary has structured things a little bit more secretively. God's word says, "Beloved, I wish above all things thou prosper and be in health." That's what he wishes for us. That's what he desires for us. And he's shown us
how we are to receive that prosperity and how we are to receive that wholeness and that healing. And yet we keep our self-constructed gods above the true God, whether it be doctors, money, jobs, whatever. And when we decide to brush all of that junk away and go back to God with our whole heart, with everything that we are within our being, and let Him do for us, it is so simple and so wonderful because it's God's grace. Now, I'm not saying that we're a bunch of idolaters. That's not what I'm talking about. And yet, when we hear these simple illustrations from there where they are steeped in idolatry, and they simply say, okay, true God, I will trust you. God, by His grace and His mercy, blesses. It's the same thing for us. When we decide to go to the true God and not the gods that we have constructed, then we will see the results that we so desire and long for and need. We believe God. We love God. We love His only begotten Son. We know He is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know this within the depth of our soul. We know He has given us the power. Now it's time to get out of the boat and walk. You know, and that boat represents all that we have constructed to keep us safe. Meanwhile, God's saying, you can walk on water. You can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. You can cleanse the lepers. Now do it. You do it. Whatever it is we need, God's there for us. God will provide. We must give it to Him and not take it back. You know, when we go to God, just, here's my heart, Father. This is what I desire of you. This is what you need to do. I cannot do it for myself. I'm tired of trying to do it myself. You do it. He will be there. And He will do. And once again, we learn the lesson of the written word. And it's our desire to see the power of God attracting people. The power of God bringing God's people back to Him. Because we've been entrusted with it. We've been given that joy and that privilege. We know. And there isn't a soul on this earth that when they do not finally know, they don't want to do something. Let's prove God. Let's not be reluctant, you know, because God wants His word to live. He wants His will to be done. Remember the prayer that Jesus Christ instructed? The Lord, teach us how to pray. Okay, here, pray like this. Our God which is in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy will be done, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what is God's will? We're the ones that are going to carry it out. We're the ones that carry it out. We're the ones that pray to God with all our soul and with all our heart and say, God, you bring those people to me that are praying to know you, that are praying to be healed. You bring them to me. God will grant us great occasion to show forth His love, His grace, with the power that He's put within each of us. He will. He'll have time. I mean, we went over there saying, you know, God, just want to be a blessing. Man, and He just poured it on. He will make great occasion for you if that's your desire. If you have a need, He will provide that need. If you need to be physically delivered, He will provide that. If the physical deliverance you need is linked to being delivered spiritually, He will provide that. Whatever it is, there's nothing too great. Because the works that Christ did, we do also, and greater. You ready to get out of the boat? I know I am.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's not to say that I don't look around me sometimes. Yeah. See the storm. Whoa, maybe I ought to get back in the boat. Yeah. It's a lot easier there. Then I just have to say, you know, what's more fun? Being in the boat or being out there walking on the water? More fun to walk on the water. More fun to say in the name of Jesus Christ, be delivered. Be whole, be healed, and be met with faith and see it. And if everybody thinks I'm crazy, then I'm crazy. Medicate me if you think you can. I'm going to be crazy until the day I die. I love being crazy. But it's not crazy. This is soundness. This is the truth, and this is the way we are to live. To just prove God day by day. Prove Him. Ask Him. Let Him answer. All right? Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Okay, amen. Take a break. We'll look at some pictures.
I do want to add one thing, which I was planning to do anyway.
Right.
About, and you just started that section. I got really blessed. Donnie taught this here before we went to India in our home fellowship about that. You know, Lord, teach us how to pray. You know, hallowed be, you know, all that stuff. It's in Luke. Well, anyway, that part about thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. And, you know, you think about the orderly universe. You think about how, you know, everything flows out there. God authored and ordered all this together. His will out there, the angels, the kingdoms, everything, you know, perfect. And then he wants his will done on earth. It says, okay, pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I saw four basic things there that is God's will for us on this earth. And the first one is that our needs are met, that God's kids are taken care of, whether it be food, shelter, health, whatever the physical needs you have, it is God's will that it is met. And number two, he wants us to live in unforgiveness. He wants his children forgiven and to forgive. You know, basically ditch any self-condemnation that goes with anything there. And then the third thing is that he wants to lead us. And he doesn't lead us into temptation. We take ourselves there by our own stupidity and our own rejection of him. He wants to lead us. This is the biggest thing I saw over there. They looked at God to lead them to a parking place, Anthony. Like yesterday, I went, God showed me, you're going to get a parking place at this fair. And the thing said closed. And Anthony's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to get a parking place. He says, turn around, it's closed. I said, no, there's a parking place there for me. And I'm talking to the lady. He's like, stop it, stop it. I'm like, do you have anything? One place. Thank you. And I looked at Anthony and he's like, whoa. Lead us. Lead me. Provide those stupid little things we used to pray for years ago. And then deliver us. To deliver us. That is his will. He wants all his children healed. He wants all his kids delivered. And then the whole rest of the context goes into, he tells a parable. He tells a cute little story about, hey, I'm going to go over, I'm going to ask my friend, you know, this guy, can I have some food? And it's midnight. And the guy's like, go away, go away. It's midnight. Can't you see I'm sleeping here with my children? And the friend's, he's like, no, no, I need some food. I have some people over here at the house. I got to feed. Get up and get. He's like, go away. Can't you see I'm sleeping? And then the guy finally is like, okay. And he gets up. He's going to give the guy some food so he can give it. And this, again, is just a story. He says, yet because of his importunity. And when Donnie taught this, the word importunity means his shameless insistence. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Are you willing to risk looking a little crazy? How bad do you want it? This is a parable within the context of teach me how to pray. How bad do you want it? Shameless insistence, persistence, desire. Okay, so finally, because of his importunity and because he was his friend, he got up and he gave him the food. And then he goes on to say, Jesus Christ, I say unto you, and it shall be given, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Remember the round bread? I saw that round bread over there. Looks just like a stone. Is God going to give you a fake piece of bread? Or if you want a fish, is he going to give you a serpent? Like the eel to eat. You're not going to eat an eel. If you want an egg, is your father going to give you a scorpion? Sanget described the scorpion he saw one time when he was a little kid. And when it withdraws back into itself, it looks just like an egg. Is God going to give you fake gifts? And then he says, you being evil, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more is the Father willing to give the Holy Spirit to you? How many of you want to operate the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit so that when you lay your hands on somebody, they know they've been touched? And you're not afraid. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Can I get a freedom? You know, the Holy Spirit. You know, when Dr. Earl used to teach that at the end of his class, it'd be like, yeah, they're going to speak in tongues. But what about the rest of us? Don't we want to operate all nine all the time? Yes. You know, speaking in tongues, piece of cake. Don't we want to heal somebody?
Yes.
You know, where you can just speak it into being. No word declared, no word of God is void of power. Nothing narrated out from my mouth when on the lips of believing is void of power. When I say you're whole in the name of Jesus Christ, you are whole. And that's the kind of thing that we all have the capability of receiving. He had it, he gave it to the 12, he gave it to the 70, the other 70, and then here we all are after the day of Pentecost. We are his agents, his people. These guys we hung with over there, they truly see this being about God has given us a second chance. And was saying it, and sang it, who prayed for laborers in the USA. You know, Tom told me, he said, I asked God for you. You are an answer to my prayer. And I asked him, when I said, us being with you, was that some kind of godly thing? He goes, yeah, God showed me you guys should be with me. Because we changed our itinerary to go on this trip instead of the other one. And, you know, same with saying it. I just saw him, how he worked with us. When there was hunger and appetite, he taught us. You know, and when it was time to play, we played. You know, when it was time to eat, we ate. So I guess that's probably what time it is right now. We need to eat. We need to feed you. And then if you want to see the pictures. So thank you. Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste.